Thank you. Comunque sì, devi dare sempre un prezzo, sì. Oggi ti rimango del Brahman, nel senso. Il Brahman muore nella Gita, in the reading of his Vedic symptoms. The Brahman was extremely uneducated, and everybody in the neighborhood knew he was uneducated. And they would think, he's trying to show off that he's a big pundit, but he's actually uneducated. So the Brahman said, I'm uneducated. I can't pronounce these verses of the Gita properly. Some I pronounce properly, some I do not. Some verses I understand the meaning, some verses I do not. But because my Guru told me to recite 18 chapters of the Gita every day, I do it. And when I do it, I see these symptoms, and I do it, and I read the sloka, tears flow from my eyes, my body begins to show. And when I see in Krishna's picture how the Supreme Lord has become the chariot driver of his devotees, my heart laments and the symptoms get displayed. But I can't understand the Gita. How Chaitanya embraced him and said, you actually understood the essence of the Gita. And he embraced him, and then Chaitanya personally instructed the Brahman for 4 months on the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada explains in the purport, he was a Brahman who was really uneducated, but his Guru told him to read the chapters of the Gita. He was doing it in a matter of duty. And because he was doing it every day, Krishna personally even saw him. So it's important to read the Gita, try and understand the Gita. The Gita presents a summary of the vast Vedic knowledge. The Vedic knowledge is so vast that if you were to read every day, still by the time you leave this body, you may end up reading a fraction. Where the Bhagavad Gita summarizes everything. And the conclusion of Gita is devotional service. When you first get into Bhagavata, you read that the Lord Chaitanya, when Krishna departed to the boat, Arjuna, his eternal companion, was feeling very sad. And then I was feeling very sad. I didn't know what I began to recall. All those incidents, which were surely inconceivable, and he succeeded because of the mercy of his friend Krishna. And he was very sad that Krishna had departed. For us to visualize the sadness experienced by Arjuna, or the sadness experienced by the gopis, and Krishna was away from them. It's impossible, because we are so conditioned. But we have to have faith in the scriptures. And then Arjuna began to meditate on Krishna's instructions from the Gita. And when he began to instruct, and he began to meditate on Krishna's instructions from the Gita, he felt that Krishna was right there next to him. And his sadness was gone. So we read the Gita every day, and we will also be able to meditate on what Krishna said. After what is the Bhagavad Gita? It's also known as the Song of God. And what does it convey to us? It conveys to us the essence of the Vedic scripture. Veda Shastra is Samanda Abhinaya Prayojana. Vedic scriptures tell us how we relate to God. And the Bhagavad Gita summarizes that in 700 verses. There is one prayer that we often say, I was born in ignorance. But by the mercy of the spiritual teacher, Sadhu, my ignorance is gone. That's life. When we are born, we don't know how to read and write. We didn't know how to speak. We didn't know how to use a computer. So gradually we learned all that. And we have to train these skills. Similarly, as we practice devotional service, and we hear the philosophy, our ignorance gets destroyed and knowledge becomes revealed. If the lights were to go off, we would be able to see each other. So with good lights, we can. So in ignorance, we don't understand our relationship with God. Therefore, we need to hear in the association of devotees. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the first chapter describing the two armies. And we know the Bhagavad Gita was fought on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna angrily spoke his knowledge for the benefit of entire humanity. Krishna questions that Arjuna asks in the Bhagavad Gita, a question that you and I ask. Arjuna, there's no question of him being in ignorance, no question of him being in illusion, but Krishna was put him in that position so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken for our benefit. That's like, in the Srimad Bhagavatam we see the Prakshit Maharaj. He was a Raj Rishi. Raj Rishi means a king and a sage at the same time. At one time the rulers were monarchs, but they also got trained in spirituality. And Prakshit Maharaj was in the mother's womb, was protected from Asvatthama Brahmastra. So this Prakshit Maharaj was in the forest one day. He shut the cage and practiced hunting, because in battle he would be in the forefront, not like today's battle when they hide in underground bunkers. The rulers would be right at the front. And he was thirsty. He was looking for water. He saw a hut with some light manifesting. And he proceeded to that hut. There was a sage. And the sage was in deep meditation. Probably, the sage should have greeted the king and said that even if an enemy comes to your house, you should receive him warmly. The best way to receive a guest is by making him sit and offer him hot prasad. You can't afford to do hot prasad, and you can offer him at least a glass of water. We can't even offer him water, at least greet him with sweet words and warm words of welcome. Don't ignore him. Prabhupada wanted that everyone who came to a temple to be greeted with hot prasad. In the Sikhs, in the Sikh Gurdwara, this custom is there. Anyone who walks in is self-prasad. And in one Gurdwara, they come on the way where you're driving from, and over to Mombasa. And then, yeah, and they sell hot prasad. I don't know if they do it now, but they used to do it.
Yes, they do it.
Yeah, so do it. So Prabhupada made Tirupati temple also, and so Prashad to everyone. So Parikshit received one of the monks, Bhat Prashad, otherwise he's out of the water, and we end speak with the weather. But you see, completely ignored the king. He did not look at the king. The king felt insulted. Voluntarily hunted anger. And there he saw destiny. He took it this day like a garland and praised him on the sage's neck. You didn't treat me properly. This is what you deserve. And he walked out in great anger. The sage's son was called Sringi. He was playing. He saw the king walk very fast in anger. He suspected something may have happened. So he went to ask his father, what transpired to the king? And then he saw that snake. He got shocked. He shouted, oh, save my father! And he ran behind the king and said, you praise the dead snake on my father's neck. And the king said, yes. And then he cursed him. You're going to die. The snake was going to bite you at the end of 7 days. And the king wanted, he could have come direct to the curse. But he did not. He accepted it at the mercy of the Lord. He prepared for his departure in a very glorious way. Being a king, instantly his communication reached thousands of sages, like these that he sent SMS to people. So though it is apparently there is something better than SMS. Because Parikshit Maharaj, as soon as he was cursed to die, he instantly prepared for his departure. And instantly, thousands of sages assembled. And he invited all of them. And he placed a very simple question in front of them. What should one do who is about to die? Different people give different responses. When you prefer the response, you will buy the son of Radha. That was the year about Krishna. So the point is, so Parikshit Maharaj was put in his ignorance so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken, so that the Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. The Lord is required in the board, but he left behind his instructions in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes step by step. Step by step. For example, in the fourth chapter, Krishna discusses the two armies before the commencement of the battle, two sides had a choice. Either they could select Krishna, or they could select Krishna's army. Krishna had already declared, both the sides were my cousins, I'm not going to take part in this battle. I'm just going to be a silence of hatred. So you can have a choice. Either you take me, or my men and my army, the Yodhan was very calculated. He said, what will I do with Krishna on my side? He's not going to do anything in any case. I will take Krishna's army, I'll take Krishna's weapons. And the Pandavas, they selected Krishna. And after describing the two armies and describing how Arjuna gets bewildered am confused about my duty. Please instruct me. So spoke Arjuna in the 7th chapter, in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter. And then Krishna began to explain the philosophy. So Bhagavad Gita starts with the philosophical presentation of the distinction between the body and the soul. We are, as we said earlier, most of us are born in ignorance, brought up in ignorance, and we want die in ignorance. 99.9%. A small fraction, 0.0.0.0.0.0% receive the knowledge about devotional service and then begin to perfect their life. Prabhupada used to give an example. A log of wood is being pushed by the water from the top of the mountain, and the log of wood is coming down. By chance it gets stuck in one of the stones. The Samanda Pramita Kona Bhagavanati, they are traversing through many millions of births and deaths, and by fortunate degree receive the seed of devotional service. So it's very important that we understand what is our real nature, because we are all identifying with the body, am I right? Someone may say, you mean to say you Hare Krishna don't identify with the body? Yes, we do too. But we are endeavoring to get out of this body identification. Takes time. What is this body identification? I am this body. I need to decorate the body. If someone tells you how beautiful you look, you feel very happy. Someone tells you how ugly you look, you feel so bad. Identification in the body is so strong. There was the true story. In America, there was a very miserly owner of a building. He had a real old left in the building. This story is about 40 years old. And the tenants in the building, you know, Americans are so passionate, they want everything instantly. He would always shout, change the lift, the lift is so slow. But his mind that he had not, did not want to spend the money. He consulted one of his miserly friends. What should I do? Friend inquired. We have a mirror in the lift. He said, no! And they put a life-size mirror. Putting a life-size mirror was cheaper than my feet lift. So they put a life-size mirror on three sides of the lift. And he saw that people stopped complaining. The lift was too slow because they were all busy standing in front of the mirror to see how good they look. So our body identification is so deep. So Krishna explains, just like we throw our old clothes and wear new clothes, the soul needs one body, it takes another body. What's the living between a dead person and a living person? Essentially, just consciousness. You approach a dead person and say, how are you? You never get a response. You approach a person with consciousness, you get a response. So, the ABC of spiritual knowledge is understanding that not this body there is something within the body, and that body, that is the soul. Everything is birth, never die. If Krishna wanted, he could have finished the Bhagavad Gita just in 10 verses. But Krishna even discusses the issue of the soul through so many verses. Why? Because Prabhupada says, repetition is necessary to drive a point home. You need to hear again and again and again, am I right? And you see everywhere, Samson billboard, Samson Sama, am I right? That billboard, doesn't matter which airport in the world you go to, whether you go to Moscow or New York, everywhere. And everyone knows the phone by the name of Samson or Apple. Why do they advertise? They're reminding you, if you think of a telephone wire, repeating it again and again. So we Hare Krishna, we Hare Krishna. We could put up billboards all over Kenya. We could put up billboards in every airport. We could put up billboards. Chant Hare Krishna, we have in another body. We can't afford it. Not even afford one billboard. Yes, so the best way to remind yourself is to regularly read the Bhagavad Gita. You regularly read, then you'll understand the reality of the spiritual life. You are not this body. Krishna explains this, and then in the fourth and third and fifth chapter, Krishna says, action has to be performed. You can't live without action. You all have to act in some capacity or the other. Someone may be a student, someone may be a housewife, someone may be a businessman. We have to perform action. Sometimes people think, how are we appearing in action? This is wrong. Krishna to Arjuna, that's not the way to pray to Mahamandra Mahamandra Swami Krishna. In the mind and judgment dedicated to me, it's your duty and fight. So Krishna encourages action, but action for Krishna's pleasure, not inaction. You don't want to be artificial renunciates. We need a permanent renunciation. So, if Krishna gives an example, lotus leaves with water but not touched by the water. When he gives an example, in the Western country, especially Russia, people can't relate to it. And they don't have lotus leaves. But I think in Kenya they probably have lotus leaves. In tropical country you have. When it's deeper than water, when it doesn't touch the water. So we have to learn to act in the spirit of detachment. And if you learn to act in the spirit of detachment, then that is bigger than action. Then in the fourth chapter, Krishna gave the history of the Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday I mentioned that on the 10th of last month, on Gita Jayanti. But actually, the message of the Gita is eternal. In the fourth chapter, Krishna gives us the history. Krishna says, I am part of this knowledge to the son of Vivasana. So the Arjuna question, how did I impart this knowledge to the son of Vivasana? When they appear before you, I don't want you to believe it. Arjuna never had doubt. The Krishna's word is truth. As Krishna says in the Gita, Mata Padam Namyan, Krishna's word. There's no truth higher than me. But Arjuna knew that in the future, some people may challenge the Gita. How do you expect us to read the Gita? And Krishna says he spoke to Vivasvan. Whenever Vivasvan appeared before him, to which the Lord replied, what did the Lord reply? Many, many times when you and I have appeared, I can remember on the previous verse, we can and giving this knowledge to you, why? Because you are my confidential friend and devotee. Therefore you can understand the transcendental secrets of the Krishna. That's why so many editions of the Bhagavad Gita, and in the introduction of the Gita, Prabhupada explains why did he present this Gita as it is? Many times devotees ask her, why is the Gita called Bhagavad Gita as it is? What is the difference between this Gita and the other Gita? So what does Prabhupada say in the introduction? He says, he has presented the Gita, the pure message as it is, as Krishna spoke, and Arjuna accepted. Whereas, in the other traditions, the translator has presented his own viewpoint, and as a result, the other message is lost. So, as Prabhupada is explaining, if you want to benefit from the doctor's advice, you have to take the medicine as the doctor prescribed. We add water, and they use the medicine, the effect will be gone. So, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and you will be pleased to hear, now that the Bhagavad Gita as it is in almost every major language of the world, people all over the world are reading it and finding it as real. Solution. A few years ago, I was flying from New York to Moscow on the airport flight. And next to me was a Russian philosopher, professor of philosophy from St. Petersburg University. He had no connection with this town. He never been a part of this town. And we were flying, and he started talking. He said, I'm a professor of philosophy and I teach Bhagavad Gita to my children. So I asked him, why do you teach the Bhagavad Gita? If it answers all your questions, gives you great in-depth philosophy, brings you peace of mind. So if you look at the opinion of the Gita, you have no moral business. Shastra, Chakshu. Just like we see through our eyes, those of us with weak eyesight wear glasses to see, we have contacts or whatever, we take assistance to see. So similarly, we have to see through the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, just like Krishna said, the wise man does not lament for the living or the dead. The wise man knows that everything is temporary. He knows if I have a wife, children, parents, over time, we're all going to get separated. That's like straws in the street, in the river. They are brought together by the waves of the river. Then the straws get separated again. So similarly, we all get bound for some time. Then we get separated again. In the seventh canto, in the ninth story of Hiranyaksha, after he was killed, his wife and his children were lamenting. So Hiranyakashipu came to preach to them. And he gave a story of the Bhagavatam. There was a king who died in a battle. The normal tradition is, if you die in the evening, you burn the body by next morning. If you die in the morning, you burn the body by the evening. But if you die in the battlefield, his wives were so morose. They held onto the body. And they were crying so loudly. And Yamaraj could hear the crying. Yamaraj was dying himself. And a young boy, and came to the assembly and said, "Look at these ladies are crying for the dead husband, thinking to bring him back to life." And Yamaraj gave a story of two birds, two flamingo birds, and it was husband and wife, and they had children. When cunning hunter was going by, the hunter threw a net and captured the children of the birds. And then he captured even the wife. So the male bird saw, "Here's my dear wife. Here are my children. All trapped by the hunter's net." The husband became morose and lamenting. He also fell in the hunter's net. So Yaman was feigning, we all lament when someone passes away. But this is when we realize that I'm also going to pass away, just a matter of time. When I registered, when I asked my Yamaraj, "What is the most amazing thing on the planet?" Yudhishthira was respected and a great philosopher. Yudhishthira thought very deeply and said, "At any moment, thousands of people are dying. But the foolish person thinks, I will not die. Even if I have to die, I will not die only when I'm ready." In Lord Ramchandra's group, the Ramarajya, people could choose their own moment of death. People had the choice. You could choose your own moment of death. If you had that choice today, the funeral home would all go bankrupt. And no one would ever choose. So, Nishimura said, "At every moment people are dying, and we think that I'm not going to die." Then there's ignorance. And in 9th chapter Krishna says, "Raja Vidyarada Priyam." This knowledge is the kingdom of education. So, we don't say, don't pursue virtual education. Pursue virtual education. Along with that, we should also pursue spiritual education. 1 zero, 2 zero, 100 zero, 1,000 zeros, add up to? What do they add up to?
Zero.
Zero. If we add a figure of 1, we have 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. So similarly, our efforts are futile if we're not engaged in service of the Lord. And if our efforts are directed towards pleasing the Lord, then they become meaningful. So, we are beginning 2017. We explained on this topic yesterday. So our goal should be, I am going to utilize every second in service to the Lord. I'm not going to waste the value of human life. Manisha Janma Paya, Yana Krishna Vajya, Nandesh Shunya Krishna Kaini. Narasimha Thakur and the son of a king. But indeed, Vaishnava poet whose writings are at par with Vyasadeva. So this is the Shankar says, I have tasted great human birth, but I did not worship Radha and Krishna. So I was simply drinking wine and human people here are so foolish. They're drinking poison. You go to them and tell them, here is some nectar. Feeding you with the poison and taking the nectar. What do they say? Let me drink the poison. Prabhupada gave the example once. A man was flying a kite and he was about to fall off the roof. And somebody told him, careful, you're going to fall off the roof. And he said, let me fly the kite. So that's our position. People are almost drinking poison. And we go and tell them, please don't drink poison. Those are fortunate. Wake up. And like Dr. Bhaktivinoda says in his Srimad Bhajan, Deep Java, Gaura Chandra Bole. Kodan in the Jamaya, Isha Chandra Bole. Oh, conditioned soul, get up! Wake up to the reality. You may say, that I'm maturely awake. Don't you say I'm maturely awake? Just like in our Bhagavatam classes, sometimes you fall asleep. They wake you up. Oh, I was awake, I'm not asleep. I'm not sleeping, I'm awake. So we may say, I'm awake, but I'm maybe materially awake, but spiritually we are snoring deeply. So Dr. Bhaktivinoda said, wake up to standard royal. You're sleeping in the lap of the rich Gandhan Maya. Wake up and take your spiritual life. So, spirituality is no doubt a little discipline. There's some spiritual paths. Sometimes people say, you may spend more men and too many rules and regulations. But they're my guru. So liberal. Say that you can do what you want. In business English is a phrase, you get what you pay for. You heard that? You get what you pay for. You want some made in China stuff, you probably get it for a token. You want something made in America, Europe, you pay a higher price. So, ladies and gentlemen, Krishna is a place. Krishna says this. All of them are listening to me. I want to make one of these. So some of them may think, sending to Krishna is very tough. But believe me, it's easier than sending to Maya. Sending to Maya is really tough. Why? Maya guarantees that we have a body now that's giving you trouble. Maya guarantees you get another body, another experience in the mother's womb, crying, suffocated for 9 months, and you never know if you're not going to be born before. Then, what that disease is going to be. So, Lord Rishabhadeva, in the fifth character, says, Nunam Pramata Kuratem Karma. When you engage in Vikramic activities, you are guaranteed to get a body that will give you nothing but trouble. And you present him a body that's giving you nothing but trouble. So don't waste a lot of human life. So, Krishna consciousness means leading a disciplined life. And discipline is often a little painful. But it's better at the beginning. And they come into no speed. Whereas mature life, speed in the beginning, eternity. So read the Bhagavad Gita, when you read one or two words of the day, will help you understand the goal of life and help you to bad or perfection. And in the environment of devotees, it is easy to practice spiritual life. Therefore, Sadhu Sangha has been recommended everywhere. So please seek the Krishna consciousness here and speak. And look forward to your life. Hare Krishna. Any questions that you have? Any questions?
We chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Meaning we are asking the service for Krishna. So if there are two things, service is there and chanting is there. So which has to be first, given the preference, chanting or seva?
Chanting. Chanting is most important. If you are chanting, you will never decide what you are supposed to do. If you do seva and not chanting, then one day, they say bye-bye to Seva also. So chanting, we will say chant all day. We chant 16 rounds. That takes an hour and a half to two. And that's the time to Seva. No questions from a local devotee? Yes, smart boy. Okay, you are meditating all along. Okay. I'm sorry, can you repeat?
Stand.
Can you explain what you think?
You say that if you don't take advantage of the scriptures, the Paramatma will reveal everything in your heart. Is it okay to just depend on the Paramatma without depending on the scripture?
Oh, the Paramatma will reveal everything once you become a pure devotee like one of the purity. But in a religious state, we have to make the effort. It's like, let's say, you don't do a job, you say, the food will come to me automatically. You have to do a job to make an effort, and you get some money to live. So, you have to make an effort, and you have to read, so, then you get this knowledge. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
You should give a cordless mic for people to ask questions. Yes, please ask.
Loudly. My question is in regards to what do you think the role of women in ISKCON, what is the responsibility for women towards it?
What is the role of women in ISKCON?
And what is our responsibility?
And what is the responsibility?
For example, give me the good news. And the good news is that Krishna is an equal opportunity employer. In America, many companies will advertise for positions in order to make sure they don't discriminate based on color or sex. It's an equal opportunity employer. But Krishna is equal to everyone, male or female. Anyone is another to be a mentor for that. So they should, no one should feel discriminated, no one should feel, oh, Krishna is favorable to the man and not the woman. Krishna is equal to everyone. And what's the role of women? Chant Hare Krishna. Study Prabhupada and preach. Okay. Any other questions? Depends who you are hearing from. Sometimes it will really be something negative when you are hearing it's true. Sometimes I'm envious of him and I pull him down and he's bad stories and fall out. So we should be careful that we are not being influenced by gossip, prajalta, envy, hatred. And if there is something genuine, then we can, in a humble way, approach the individual or temple authority and tell them in this image correction. And sometimes, for many of us, it's just like hearing something negative. So they don't want to hear any good. They don't want to hear bad. They feel like bad. So they like prajalpa. So prajalpa should be avoided. Okay. Okay, any more questions?
Past 9, 1 hour you will give the class in the morning.